Now this morning, in your Bible, to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 7. I'm going to read from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 7, two verses. Verses 13 and 14. From the lips of the Savior, two verses that should cause us to think very soberly on our way as we pass down the highway of life, making a mark and marching toward our final destiny. We shall read verses 13 and 14 after we pause in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, before Thee we come today with grateful hearts because we've been privileged to be together in Thy house. May every person here feel a warmth and a welcome. May they feel the Spirit of God working in our midst as we wait before Thee. In Jesus' name we ask it and for His sake, and with thanksgiving, amen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and verse 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I want you to read those two verses with me aloud this morning. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and verse 14, as we read them slowly, prayerfully, and deliberately. Let us read. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I want you to notice especially the word straight, the word wide, the word broad, the word many, the word narrow, and the word few. These are the words that will be standing out in my message this morning. I'm speaking today from the topic, Discover Your Destiny. There are three words that sum up the entire existence of human life. One, today. Two, tomorrow. And three, eternity. Today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. The Bible says today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Much emphasis is placed upon today. Because the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. In discovering your destiny, today is important. God's time is always now. God's time is always present. With Him, there is no past and there is no future. It is all in the eternal now. We hope to live, to get home, to eat, and to sleep a while, and to eat again, and sleep a while, and get up and go to work. And then it'll be tomorrow, and that tomorrow will become another today. We hope to do that many days until finally there will arrive for each of us that which we call eternity. How on earth do we define eternity? How in time can we measure eternity? The poet said this, little drops of water, little grains of sand, make the mighty ocean and the pleasant land. And so the minutes, though little they be, make the mighty ages of eternity. It is said that over the cathedral in Milan, Italy, there are three arches at the entranceway, and on each is an inscription. On the left, there is a cluster of roses inscribed, and underneath are these words, that which brings pleasure lasts only for a moment. On the right arch, there is a cross, and underneath are inscribed these words, that which brings trouble lasts only for a moment. And over the central arch, there is this inscription, that only is important, which lasts for eternity. As you go down the expressway of life, you must keep in mind that today and tomorrow and eternity are the three words that summarize your existence, and these are the words that pave the route from humanity to immortality. As you travel, keep in mind three things. First, you are moving. You are not standing still. Second, you are marching to your eternal destiny. Third, you are moving at a rapid rate of speed. My, how time does fly. Why, it seems only yesterday that I stood here for the first time and brought the acceptance message for your call to be your pastor. That was 11 years ago. Why, it seems only last week that I left home to come to Fort Worth to enroll in the seminary, to prepare for my life's ministry. And that's been 22 years ago. My, how time does fly. Out of my text, there come four groups, four classifications of twos. Jesus is speaking, and Jesus speaks first of two gates. Jesus then speaks of two ways. Jesus then speaks of two groups. Jesus, fourthly and finally, speaks of two destinies. Let us consider the two gates. One is straight or narrow. The other is wide. The two ways, one is narrow, the other is broad. The two groups, in one there are a few, in the other there are many. The two destinies, one is eternal life, and the other is eternal death. You see, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible declares, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible says that lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Two gates, two ways, two groups, two destinies. Now I want to ask you this morning first, through which of these gates have you entered? Which one of these roads are you traveling? To which group do you belong? And what is your eternal destiny? Now, the road you're traveling depends upon the gate through which you have entered. The gate through which you have entered depends solely upon the choice that you have made. I read in Deuteronomy chapter 30 at verse 19, "Behold, I set before you life and death, a blessing and a curse. Choose ye life." I understand that in British Columbia, there is a river that comes to a certain point, and the waters of that river divide. And the waters that go westward will finally enter into the Pacific Ocean. The waters that flow eastward will finally enter into the Atlantic. Now, as long as the water is flowing toward that moment, shall we say, of decision, that point of no return, the water is on a free course. But the moment that the water reaches that climactic point and turns either east or west, its destiny is forever settled. And I see a parallel in that in your life and mine. We are free moral agents. But once we decide and enter through the narrow gate, or on the other hand, the wide gate, our destiny is forever settled. May I remind you that where you go in the hereafter will depend on what you go after here. Now, I'll have to run that by again, and I got to get that straight now. Let's just have an instant replay on that one. Where you go in the hereafter depends upon what you go after here. John Greenleaf Whittier put it this way: the fabric of life to be, we are weaving with colors of our own. And in the matters of destiny, we reap what we have sown. Which way are you traveling today? Are you on that straight and narrow way that leads to eternal life? Have you the peace and joy that passes all understanding? Can you face the grim enemy of death and say and mean it in your heart, live or die, sink or swim, survive or perish, now and tomorrow, for time and for eternity, my soul is saved and I'm on my way to heaven? Can you say that this morning? Or must you say, "Pastor, I'm going down the broad road that leads to destruction. I need the restraining powers of the Holy Spirit, lest I leap into all eternity without Christ." You see, every man alive this morning who has reached the age of accountability, every person alive, that means you, every person alive is traveling one road or another. You're headed for one destiny or the other. There's no middle ground. There's no neutrality. There's no fence straddling here. Now, you can be a fence straddler in a lot of places, But when it comes to the matters of the eternal destiny of your never-dying soul, it's either yea or nay. It is saved or lost. It is heaven or hell. It is life or it is destruction. Oh, but somebody says to me, "Preacher, maybe you don't understand. I'm a church member." Well, welcome to the club. There are 140 million church members in the United States. And I believe that every born-again believer ought to be a church member. But I must remind you of this truth from the Word of God, that your destiny is not determined by your relationship to the church, but by your relationship to Christ. But somebody said, "Pastor, I'm rich and I have been able to buy my way all the way through." I'm talking to you about something this morning that money cannot buy. If you had all the wealth of the world, if you had all of the gold in Fort Knox, if you had all of the money that's represented on Wall Street, in the Ford Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation and all of the foundations, you could never buy your way to heaven. Someone put it this way: money will take you anywhere but heaven and buy you anything but happiness. And that's the truth. I must remind you this morning that your eternal destiny is not determined by what you possess, but rather your destiny is determined by what possesses you. And somebody says to me, "But preacher, I'm educated, and I'm glad that you are, and I think you ought to be educated and learn all that you can," and as someone put it, "Learn all you can and can all you learn." But I must remind you today that your eternal destiny is not dependent upon what you know, but who you know. Do you know Jesus? Eternal life and salvation and the matters of heaven and eternal bliss are in His hand. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." I would have to say to you this morning, there is no difference between the educated and the uneducated, the rich and the poor, the church member and the non-church member. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ah, but somebody says to me, "But preacher, I was born in a Christian home, and I think I'm all right." Well, I appreciate the fact that you were born in a Christian home, but I want to tell you this morning that your being born in a Christian home does not make you a Christian any more than being born in a cage would make you a canary. And I don't mean that facetiously. Being born in a Christian home does not make you a Christian any more than being born in a garage would make you a car. For you see, your eternal destiny is not dependent upon nor determined by your being born in a Christian home. It's determined by your being born into the family of God. There must be a new birth. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again, born from above, born by the Spirit, born by the Word of God, born through the blood of the Savior." That's the birth that really counts. Have you experienced it? Oh, you say, "But preacher, I'm honest and I pay my bills." Well, that's a refreshing thought. And I'm glad that you are. And I'm glad that you pay your bills, but your eternal destiny is not determined by the fact that you pay your bills. Your eternal destiny is determined by the fact that Jesus Christ paid the debt of sin for you. And so we can sing, "Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, but you might say, but Pastor, I've learned the catechisms. That's well, that's fine, I'm glad. But again, I must remind you that your eternal destiny is not determined by your learning the catechisms. Your eternal destiny is determined by believing the Christ of God. Someone else steps up to say, but preacher, I've been baptized. Well, if you were baptized a sinner, you went in a dry sinner and came out a wet sinner. For you see, there is no saving efficacy in the baptismal waters. There is no salvation in the baptistry, no more than there is in the steeple or the altar or the piano. Salvation is in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you must experience that personal encounter with God's Holy Spirit that we call the new birth. You must be born of the power of the Holy Spirit by the transforming, regenerating power of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But somebody says to me, but preacher, I've been confirmed. Well, let me say to you again that your eternal destiny is not determined by confirmation, but by conversion. By your reaching that moment in your life when you recognize by all good and bad for time and eternity that you're a lost sinner and you must have the saving power of Christ. Somebody says to me, but preacher, I've been reformed. Well, I'm glad. But let me say this to you. Your eternal destiny is not determined by reformation, but by regeneration. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us. We could go on and on and on in these matters of what we are and where we've been and what we've done. But the only thing that really matters is a personal relationship to Christ. Now let me ask you. The straight gate is before you. The broad gate is before you. Which are you going to choose in order to discover your destiny? Oh, but somebody said, preach, I don't believe in this business of hell. Well, you will after you've been there a few seconds. That's what Billy Sunday used to say. As sure as there's a Bible, there is an eternal truth that there is a place of everlasting fire that the Bible calls the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There is a straight gate, a narrow gate, and there is a broad gate. There is a narrow way, and there is a broad way. This might come as a surprise to some, but Jesus said, few there be that find it. On the other hand, many are they which enter into the wide gate and travel the broad road that leads to destruction. And say, friend, don't take comfort in the fact that a whole lot of people you know are in the same condition you're in, lost, unsaved, unregenerated. Don't say, well, I'll have a lot of company in hell. That's not going to do you any good. There is no comfort in thinking that multiplied millions will be there. Jesus again said, few there be that find the straight and narrow way. And many there be that find that broad, expansive way that leads to destruction. Which way are you traveling? If your eternal destiny is to be heaven, you must go by the way of the cross. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. In the pioneering days of our country, missionary dealt with tribe after tribe of Indians in the western part of the United States. And the missionary witnessed to an Indian chief. And the chief, with a face of flint, hard, unmoved, untouched, unconcerned. When the missionary had witnessed about the way of Christ and the way of the cross and the way to heaven, he said to the missionary, without ever batting an eye, he said, "White man, I've followed the Indian road all of my life, and I will follow it to the end of my days." The missionary went on about his way. Many moons passed, and the old Indian chief was taken seriously ill. And the witch doctors and the Indian doctors and all of the soothsayers and comforters were about. The Indian chief recognized that he faced the grim enemy of death. The perspiration of death was upon his brow. The rattle of death was in his breast. And he called for the missionary. And the missionary came. And he said, "White man, the Indian road stops here. I'm facing death. There is no Indian path through the valley of death. Can I now take the Jesus way?" Oh, my friend, may I say to you that your way, however tried and proven, your path does not have a way through the valley of the shadow of death. The only way that can take you through that valley is the Jesus way. Then you can say with a psalmist, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." I'm talking to you this morning about discovering your destiny. I'm talking to you today about the most important thing in your life, the most important thing in time, and the most important thing in eternity. I say again, if heaven is your destiny, the way of the cross must be the road that you travel. Discovering your destiny. Only you can make the choice. There is but one way. And that's the Savior's way. And I never grow tired of telling that story. That one day outside the city walls of ancient Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross to save you from your sin. You can't go by way of baptism. You can't go by way of church membership. You can't go by way of reformation or confirmation or catechism or any other way. You must go the Jesus way. Discovering your destiny is the most important thing that faces you today. I have a footnote to my message this morning and I'm through. I saw a man discover his destiny this week. He was in the hospital. I went to his bedside. I talked with him. And finally, I came to that all-important question. And I said to him, "Murphy, have you ever been saved?" And his chin began to quiver. And he said, "No, I've never." I said, "How old are you?" "I'm 56 years old, And I've never been saved. I said, well, don't you think you ought to today? The tears started flowing. And he said, well, I've never really made any preparation for it. And I said, Murphy, you don't have to make any preparation to get saved. You can come just like you are. God wants you just like you are this moment. Oh, yeah, he said. I said, why, man, all you've got to do is to believe what God has said. All you've got to do is trust Christ as your Savior. And I gave him the scriptures from the Word of God. And I said, now, Murphy, I want you to pray the sinner's prayer after me. And I started, but he beat me to it. And he began to beg God to have mercy on him and to save him and to forgive him. And right there on that hospital bed Tuesday afternoon, Howard Murphy discovered his own destiny. I was back the next day. His wife was in the room with him. We exchanged greetings. Then he reached over and laid his hand, big old rough hand, on his wife's hand. And he said, honey, I didn't tell you, but I got saved the other day. And I tell you, my heart rejoiced. Because there was a man who discovered his eternal destiny in time. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Yesterday I was talking with Brother Nettleton here at the front. And he said to me, I had the privilege of leading an 80-year-old woman to Christ today. I'm talking to you about discovering your destiny. The most important thing in your life, where will you spend eternity? Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. I want to tell you this morning that there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. And on this 27th of August, 1972, there's no reason why you cannot discover your destiny. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee that Thy Word has made it plain and clear, unmistakably clear, how we can be saved and how we can go to heaven. We thank Thee that Thou hast put before us two ways, the way of life and the way of death. And we pray this morning that if there are those who have not made that proper entry upon and into and through that narrow gate to walk that narrow path, that they might do so today in discovering their destiny. There are those, Heavenly Father, who need to come and yield their lives in absolute dedication and surrender to Christ. May they come to this altar. There are those, Heavenly Father, who should come this morning, unite with the fellowship of this church, believing this to be the place where you would have them to serve. May they come this morning and join Worth Baptist Church. Some for baptism, some by a transfer of letter, some on their statement of faith. We pray that each one of us might do what Thou wouldst have us to do in this moment, is our prayer in Jesus' name.